Morning, we thank you for your work in our life. I thank you that you are a very real God, that your presence and your anointing is powerful, that it changes us from the inside out, that we can sense and know your love, your grace, your anointing, your power in our lives. And I thank you that you are willing to share that with us, Lord. You are an awesome God, Lord. You live and abide within us and allow us to walk in this anointing and this greatness that you have placed us here in us here on earth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for all that you are and all that you're doing, all that you've already done. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. So as the title implies, I want to share something today called the prosperity gospel. Has anybody heard, or how many have heard of the prosperity gospel? A few, well, probably half have heard of the prosperity gospel. Well, that's good. I want to be able to elaborate on it in a couple different ways this morning. It is the prosperity gospel. That is a phrase or a term that is being thrown around a lot in today's world, okay, and not just in the form of Christianese. In other words, it's not just something that Christians would talk about, the prosperity gospel. In fact, I would say most often it is the lost or the hypocritically religious that are using the term the prosperity gospel. Okay, it is an expression that is often used as a derogatory description. Okay, so kind of a negative description of a Christian message, of a ministry or a church, or of a minister that preaches about money and wealth. Okay, that is the derogatory term that is used when they talk about the prosperity gospel. It is a negative in many people's eyes. As a derogatory term, it has its merit. Okay, when it's used to describe those that would preach for profit. Okay, and preaching for profit, there are examples. If you want to turn on some Christian stations in the middle of the night, you will find possibly, okay, some prosperity gospel preachers that are preaching for profit or for money, for themselves. I've actually heard certain pastors, prophets or evangelists that would make a statement like, "For a donation of $1,000, I will give you a personal prophecy." Okay, in other words, if you pay me, I will give you what the Lord wants you to see. Okay, or they will say something like, "You know, God is saying that just for today, at this very moment, if you will give $1,000 to this ministry, then you will receive a tenfold return on your investment." Okay, in other words, if you give to me and to my ministry, then you will be blessed. But if you don't, you won't. It's kind of that message that has that statement in it that is obviously not of God. Okay, it is very true that in a Christian church, in a true Christian church, that no one should ever have to pay for a prophecy or a word from the Lord. Okay, our Lord Jesus would have never, ever done any sort of healing or given a word to someone based on what God was saying to him for profit so that he would gain from it. Everything that he did, we can look at his examples throughout the entire scriptures and know that everything he did was solely for the glory of God and for our benefit. He came, lived, died, did all these things. Did all the miracles, did all the sharing of God's spoken word to us only for the glory of God and for our benefit. So that being said, a few weeks ago when I was asking the Lord about what to share for this sermon, I knew that our series we had been doing on the roles in the body of Christ was slowly coming to an end, but I knew that I needed to know what to share after that. So I sought the Lord to find out what he wanted me to share on this very day. And I heard three words: the prosperity gospel. Okay, so I was a little bit bewildered when I first heard that. And I have heard the negative descriptions before. And so I was like, well, the prosperity gospel, does God want me to preach for money? Does God want me to try to stir up some support? Or What God's response to me was, he said, no, but I want you to teach the true prosperity gospel. Okay, the true prosperity gospel. So I started digging into it. And I began by looking up online. You know, you can Google anything, right, and find an answer. I don't always use Google, but you can look up online. And so I did start by looking up online, what is the prosperity gospel? Okay, what is, you know, what do people found? I found almost instantly, okay, 49 million hits or whatever, almost instantly, I found this derogatory description of the term that I have already described to you. It's people preaching for money. Okay, so I dug in a little bit deeper to find out what is it. Okay, all these hits that showed up were all anti-prosperity gospel preachers. Okay, they were people preaching against the prosperity gospel. So I dug into it a little bit more to find out what is it that the people who are anti-prosperity gospel, what are they preaching? Okay, what do they say, in other words, is wrong with teaching Christians that we should thrive and prosper? What do they have against that? And here's what I found, and I want to put this on the screen for you. Anti-prosperity gospel preachers say the prosperity gospel can be defined by many characteristics, but three basic ones are faith, wealth, and health. Okay, so some of you have a puzzled look on your face, just as I, okay? By that definition, anyone who teaches that Christians are to have faith, to be wealthy and healthy, is preaching a blasphemous message. Okay, this is the gist of anti-prosperity gospel preachers, is three characteristics are going to define the prosperity gospel, and it's faith, health, and wealth. Okay, I will just state, I believe that is 100% completely false. Okay, but I need you to stick with me, okay, for a little bit and understand why I say that it's false. Okay, if you go around telling your people that you know that your pastor is a prosperity gospel preacher, most of them are probably going to tell you to find another church. Okay, because of that negative connotation, right? If the prosperity gospel is preaching for money, then it's wrong. But if the prosperity gospel is thought to be speaking or preaching on faith, wealth, and health, then they're wrong. Okay, the anti-guys are wrong on this. Now, some people are so jealous of the success of others that rather than see someone believe and receive by faith what the Bible says God wants to give them, they will tell you that you need to be poor and miserable and destitute like they are. Okay? They do not want to see you prosper by faith, by believing for something until you see it manifest, by standing in faith and not wavering, not doubting. They would rather see you become miserable and poor. See, when I read a definition like what I showed you, like this right here, some scriptures, okay, that supersede man's opinion on any matter, scriptures start coming to mind. Okay, I read that about wealth, health, you know, finances, money, those kind of things, and I start thinking of other places, places in the Bible where God's scripture does talk about prosperity, where it does talk about money and possessions, and some of those kind of things come to mind. The words prosper, prosperity, and prosperous are in the King James Version of the Bible 89 times. Okay, so it is very easy to look up 89 scriptures. Actually, it's less than that. Some of them have it in the same verse. But it's pretty easy to look up the 70 or so different verses and find out, how does God see prosperity? What does God think about it? What is God's viewpoint on a Christian or a believer prospering? The first scripture that comes to mind is 3 John verse 2. Excuse me. 3 John, I don't usually sing that much during worship, can you tell? almost hoarse already. That's good stuff. I wish I could do that every week. Anybody want to be a drummer? Okay. Praise God. 3 John, verse 2. If you know the book of 3 John, there's one chapter, so there's no chapter and verse. It's just 3 John, the book of 3 John, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Okay, now this is spoken, it's 3 John, it's spoken by John, okay, who, if you recall, John is the guy that described himself in his own gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay, that's in quotes. That is a direct quote from John himself. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay, he described himself as that. He was a man who truly understood the infinite love expressed by God through Jesus Christ. He fully understood what God sent Jesus for, and that this manifestation of love was something that he was going to receive and walk in from the moment he found out on. Okay, he received that love wholeheartedly. In this verse, he says, "I wish," or you could say, "I pray," or you could say, "I desire strongly," or "I deeply desire above all else that thou mayest prosper." Okay, it is the same Greek word. That word "wish" is the same Greek word that the Apostle Paul used when he said he wished that he could be accursed for his brethren, suggesting that he was willing to go to hell if it meant that his fellow Israelites could go to heaven. Okay, in other words, it is to wish in this sense is a well thought out and very, very strong desire. It is something that you do not speak lightly. So John is saying, "I wish, I desire extremely strongly above all else," okay? Again, just an added phrase to make it mean that much more. "I wish above all else that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Okay, now, prosperity gospel critics like to make lists of prosperity gospel preachers. And some well-known people you've, I'm sure, all heard of, people that I know personally, are on that list. Okay, and these people will then attempt to keep people from listening to them or from supporting them in particular. Okay, if someone is blessed and a millionaire pastor, you do not need to give to that guy. They will steer you away from them in a heartbeat. What they have done is that they pick out, oftentimes, one sermon about giving or one statement that a preacher has said, something like, "God wants you to prosper." I will get into that. And then they negate to tell you that in the pastor's 4,000 other sermons, they preached about all these other important topics like faith and hope and love and peace and holiness and living right and how to live like a believer and all these things, right? They have taught one message on giving and why you should give and support the local church, but they've preached 3,999 other sermons about other topics, but they've preached one part of it on prosperity, that God wants you to prosper, that God wants you to be successful. And so they have taken that, saying, "This is one of those prosperity gospel preachers, because look how blessed he is. Look at all the wealth that they have. It's because they always preach like that." Okay, so they have taken something out of context to put them onto this prosperity gospel preacher list, is what I'm saying. And I asked some mature Christians what they thought about the prosperity gospel and this teaching that, you know, that it's God's desire for a believer to be successful and to thrive in their business or their occupation. And each one of them, kind of to sum up what they said, basically altogether they said, well, it's not the only thing that they should be preaching on. In other words, yes, preach on it, but it's not the only topic to preach on. And that is my point exactly. Okay, to be an effective minister of the gospel, you must teach on all aspects of salvation. And part of it is that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, rose from the dead, so that you could have a victorious, blessed, and abundant life. That is part of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It is part of the salvation gift that we received. God wants us to be a well-rounded believer, okay, thriving in every area of your life, and your finances and your prosperity is one part of that. God wants us to get this part down, as well as how to be saved by grace through faith, how to live a right life, how to worship God, all these other things that we learn. But I want you to check out the balance in teaching that the Lord taught us. Okay, Jesus himself said this in John 10:10. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Okay, but this same Jesus, okay, the same great teacher, also said this in Luke 12:15. He says unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Okay, then following that verse, Jesus goes on then to tell a parable about a man that made a lot of money, and he built bigger barns, and he stored up for himself huge amounts of grain. So then he pridefully says, "Now I'm so rich that I can kick back and just enjoy life." Okay, he says, "I can kick back and eat and drink and be merry." But God says unto him in verse 12:20, God says unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Okay, he didn't get to spend or use all his money. Somebody else did. In fact, he laid it up. And we are to do that. There is, that message is in there too. This guy got that part wrong. You lay up for the next generation. We are commanded to do that, instructed to do that. But the key to this passage is right here at the end. Jesus doesn't say not to lay up treasure for yourself, but he says that as you do, you need to remain rich toward God. In other words, your relationship with God is what caused you to be successful and to prosper, and you're not to forget that fact. Okay, God will cause you to prosper, but your heart needs to be in the right place or it will do you no good. This is just a side note, but what I personal experience and seen in my life, there are times when God will prosper you more than you can imagine and see how you do. I mean, I don't think he doesn't tempt you with sin, but he says he wants you to be generous and giving and all these things. And so he blesses you to see how they're going to handle all this. And he watches and pays attention. And I think sometimes if we just squander it, we don't, you know, we're stingy with it, or we do the wrong things with it, then sometimes we see it disappear. You know, some people like to cut down other people who prosper. Okay, especially those that prosper in the ministry. Okay, that's where this derogatory term, the prosperity gospel preacher, that's where the list comes from, is because people are putting down other preachers. Okay, it's preachers putting down other preachers. Christians are some of the most critical people on the planet, if you haven't figured that out. Religious ones. Heaven forbid that a man of God would carefully obey the instructions of the Lord, be listening to him as God says to do this or don't do that, and it would cause him to prosper and to minister to thousands of people at one time. Okay, for a man of God to be used by God to speak into the lives of 10,000 people every week and hundreds of people coming to salvation through Jesus Christ every week, okay, if people are coming and learning and growing up spiritually and developing their faith and getting stronger and going into the workforce and into the world and spreading the gospel even more, surely that must be the devil, right? Are you guys following me? I tell you, if that's the devil's strategy, it's no wonder he loses. Right? Let's bless this guy. Let him minister to 10,000 people a week. Let him lead thousands of people to salvation every year. Let him build people up and send them out to the nations. That doesn't work for the devil. That's working for God. Okay, that's on God's side. The Apostle Paul addressed this jealousy throughout his teachings because he noted some of this, you know, the strife and the divisions that would rise up within churches and how people would begin to look at other people within their own body or people in the next church or whatever and how they began to get critical. And so he addressed it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, Paul says this. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walking as men? Okay, to be carnal is to be worldly. Okay, it is relating to things in life through fleshly means. Okay, it is leaving the spiritual out of it. Okay, that is the mentality that if they're so rich, it must be because they're stealing or deceiving people into giving them money. Okay, this is the thought that says being poor is what makes you rich toward God. Okay, that's not taught in the scriptures. That's man's wisdom that has come up to say, being poor is what makes you rich toward God. Okay, I have, like the Apostle Paul, I have abounded and I've abased. I've been dirt poor, wonder where the next meal is coming from. Always knew it would be provided, it always was. But I've also abounded in many ways in life's living and had enough, more than enough. Okay, I've seen both sides of it, and I know that God wants us to give and to be spiritually minded in both cases. Okay, if you remember the teachings on the qualifications for elders and deacons and bishops, okay, the Bible says many times that they are, quote, not to be greedy of filthy lucre, okay, as the King James puts it. Okay, in other words, they are not to be greedy for money to the point that they are willing to obtain it by questionable or illegitimate means. Okay, that is the instruction for those that are living right, is not to do it by questionable means. Okay, but if a child of God is doing things the right way and God's blessing is upon them and His anointing is upon them and they are prospering and flourishing, why are they said to be of the devil? If they're doing what we're told to do, to be a deacon, an elder, or, you know, to a Christian, and yet they're prospering in that, why is that negatively thought upon? Okay, the spirit that causes people to be envious and jealous of others is not of God. Okay, we are not to compare ourselves against each other. In James chapter 3, starting in verse 13, he said this. He said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Okay, it's like those with a poverty mentality, or those with an unworthy spirit. Okay, I'm not worthy to receive the things of God. They seek to find fault in those who know about, believe, and receive the abundant blessings that our Lord provided for us through his finished work on the cross. Okay, they find fault in that because if I'm not worthy to receive it, how come they are? Okay, the truth is that God wants you to prosper. Okay, there's the quote they can use to put me on a list, right? God wants you to prosper. Okay, if you think about it, even those who are not well off financially, or not as well off, or however you want to look at it, are still instructed to be generous. Okay, so if you are wealthy, then it just means you are expected to be even more generous. You have more to be able to give. Now, I want to show you a passage that gets misinterpreted a lot in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41. It's Jesus watching them give into the treasury, into the offering, so to speak. It says, Jesus sat over against the treasury, and he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing, not very much. And he called unto him his disciples, and he saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living. Okay, everything that she had left to live on. Okay, the message that Jesus is giving is not that being rich is bad. But like the man that stored up an abundance in his barns for his own personal use, the point is that as you become wealthy, you don't want to become complacent or stingy in your giving. Okay, when a wealthy person gives till it hurts, like the widow woman did, okay, it is a tremendous blessing to whomsoever that they are giving it, and they themselves will also supernaturally be taken care of by God. Jesus' other teachings tell us that. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Okay, shall men give into your bosom. As far as like advancing up in the workplace, okay, advancing up the ranks in your workplace, your relationship with God, the Bible tells us, encompasses you roundabout with a shield of favor. Okay, that means everywhere you go, the shield of favor goes with you. Okay, you walk into a room, they sense the shield of favor right off the bat. You stepped in, favor is upon you. When you are living right and you're doing everything that you do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man, everything that you do, you sense in your spirit that you are doing it directly unto God. When you live that way, you cannot help but be blessed. Okay, Proverbs 29:2 says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Okay, that would imply that not only does the Lord want you to be in authority, to be in leadership, to be in a supervisory role, but the people will enjoy working for you and that they will be better off as well. In Deuteronomy 28:12, it says this, it says, The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain, up unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only. Remember that language. And thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. For God to say that you are to be the head and not the tail, to be above only and not beneath, certainly sounds like he desires for you to be successful in your environment, okay, in your workplace, in your place of occupation, whatever that is. God wants you to prosper financially. Okay, he wants you to prosper in that sense, but along with that prosperity, God wants you to be a blessing and a benefit to the people around you. When the righteous rule, the people are supposed to rejoice, right? Keep that in mind. Okay, Paul addresses this even within the church environment. 1 Corinthians 16:1 is our last verse this morning. Paul said, now concerning the collection for the saints, he's talking about taking up an offering. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, so that there be no gatherings when I come. Okay, Jesus, if you remember, I didn't pull up that verse, but he says to have faith in God, to believe and receive. Paul says to give generously from what wealth God has prospered you with. And John says that he wishes above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth in every possible way. And I've come to the conclusion that I am a prosperity gospel preacher. Okay? Not in the sense of preaching for money, okay, but in the sense that I will preach what the Bible says. Okay, I will teach on all the other topics as well so that we don't become obsessed about money, so that we don't become obsessed with success and put a label on ourselves and delabel those that aren't there yet and their walk. We're all in it. Okay, we're all walking in this walk together, and I will teach on all the other topics so that we don't get too caught up in that. We won't become obsessed with prosperity and money. Okay, but you definitely need to know about this as well. You need to know that you are the head and not the tail. God has put this out there for us. Okay, and I'm barely even touching on the subject, but God wants you to prosper and to be in health. Okay, God wants that for you. Okay, trust him, listen to him, okay, yield to him. It doesn't mean if you get sick that you've stepped out of God's will or anything like that. The devil is as active as God is, but we need to give God the credit for when we are blessed and we do prosper. I'm giving God the credit for that, okay, and know that he is above and put me in a position above and not beneath as well. God wants you to prosper. Amen. Father, we praise you, and I do thank you, Lord. You set us up for success. You set us up to be blessed. You caused us to be righteous so that we can rule as the righteous. You caused wealth to come into us, Lord. Your word says that it is the Lord thy God that giveth you the ability to get wealth. Okay, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for prospering us and causing us to have enough and more than enough. To have an abundance and to live more abundantly, to live in the way that you would choose for us to live, Lord, as we yield ourselves to you. Let us have a heart of generosity. Let us have a heart of giving, no matter how much we have, to give till it hurts, to give till we know that we've given what you asked, that we know that we have given as much as we possibly could have. Father, let us live out your principles, Lord. Then as we give, we know it will be given unto us. We will be provided for because, again, you say that in your word. Father, we trust you this morning. We thank you for it. Thank you for prospering each of us. I thank you for health. I thank you for your blessing and favor upon us as we go forth from this building. Let us go into places everywhere that we go and just take your shield of favor with us. Let us walk in as the righteous. Let us take authority and walk into that room as the head and not the tail. Father, we praise you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen.